Welcome back. While political parties contesting the May the 8th election signed the IEC's code of conduct today, and a record 48 parties have made it onto the ballot paper. What's the significance of the proliferation of the smaller parties as we head into the crucial election? Political analyst Daniel Silk joins us on the line with his perspective. Thanks so much, Daniel, for joining us this evening. So we seem to be dealing with a case of the rise of smaller niche political parties in South Africa. What are you making of the shifting landscape here? Is this a sign of a maturing democracy or one that's fast disintegrating?
Well, you know, it's interesting that over the last number of elections, we've seen smaller parties not fare particularly well, and we've seen the electorate gravitate towards the larger parties. And now we are seeing this plethora of smaller entities, very often simply personality driven by their leader, establish some sort of presence on the ballot paper. Look, I think it is part of the very sort of the robust nature of our democracy in South Africa. I think it does reflect that there is a variety of different interest groups who wish to have some sort of say in the election process and potentially get elected. So I think it is an aspect of a very open democracy. But I have to say, I think also that we've seen more and more personality-driven political parties, personalities who feel that they themselves are the answer to all of our prayers, and I think that's another reason why we've got additional parties. And lastly, if I might say, I think we've seen what I refer to as a confusion factor in some of these political parties. Many of them have very similar names or very confusing acronyms that may deliberately be put on the ballot paper in order to confuse voters who really are finding it tough to navigate a 48-strong ballot paper. So for all of those reasons, I think we've got fun and games in this election, a lot of different interest groups, and at least we can say South Africans really have a broad choice of who to vote for.
Absolutely. I was chatting to a guest a little earlier off air today, highlighting the case of confusion that may well be created by the ballot paper that comes to the fore at this year's election. And it's going to be a difficult one to navigate. One wonders whether, the cross is going to be put in the right block or not. I want to focus, though, on what you've been highlighting about these parties being personality-driven, though, Daniel. I mean, is that something you see, being enough to get sustained buy-in?
The personality—only personalities with a very deeply entrenched position of credibility in governance or in public life are likely to gain any traction. And I do think we've seen a variety of personalities, who are larger than life, who perhaps have delusions of grandeur in terms of how they perceive their role in South Africa. They've created political parties, and I'm not convinced that just because they're household names, just because we've seen a lot of them in the media, that they're really going to attract any kind of major traction within this election. So it's not good enough to be a personality. It's not good enough to hold some sort of interest in the public eye. I don't think the electorate, are that, let us say, ill-informed to reward individuals simply because they've been in the news. The electorates are certainly looking for answers. They're looking for real identification with political parties. And I think many of these personality-driven parties are going to find that they will probably not really muster the sufficient threshold even to get one representative into Parliament.
We'll be honing in on the sentiment amongst the electorate in just a bit. Before we get there, Daniel, how many votes do you need to acquire a seat in Parliament? Because still the big question around expanding our voting options is this not diluting potential to build a strong opposition party here?
Well, look, I think historically it's about 50,000 votes is needed. I think it might be a little bit more now depending on the amount of registered voters, and I haven't got those final figures. But look, I think that in the end, I'm not against this plethora of smaller parties. I think they add color. They add a certain verve and interest to the election. They also potentially can assist in bringing voters out to vote who may want to vote for some of the smaller parties or at least feel committed in some form to participate in the broader process. And I think the smaller parties themselves, you know, are to be encouraged and welcomed as adding life to the election campaign. Very often South Africans argue that they don't know who to vote for, that they find the larger parties to be somewhat distant or remote or tarnished for that matter. And at least this brings some life back to the system. I think the interesting issue is, you know, this goes to the heart of whether proportional representation itself is a healthy system for us in South Africa. And there we know that for many South Africans, the existence of party lists really puts a distance between the voter and their public representative directly. And perhaps in future we really need to look at a more mixed system of our electoral system, yeah, where all of these smaller political parties don't carry the same interest as they do at the moment.
You highlighted that you haven't tallied the numbers yet as far as voter participation is concerned. I mean, one of the latest figures I've come across is 26 million. But taking a look at where things stand right now, while we've got all these options emerging, Daniel, we're also dealing with a very disillusioned electorate to a large extent. So, you know, one question is whether we are going to be looking at a big turnout now that new options have emerged and come onto the table, from those hoping to ignite change, or are we potentially looking at a pretty massive damp squib?
Look, I think we've seen a reduced voter turnout in successive elections since 1994. So as the democracy has entrenched itself, so unfortunately more South Africans have become complacent about going out to vote. And we do know from the latest registration figures that many young people once again have not bothered to register in what is a fairly cumbersome system for registration in South Africa anyway. So I think we are going to see a lot of South Africans excluding themselves by virtue of the bureaucracy of registration. And that, of course, presents a danger down the line. We always speak of voters who simply do not participate for a variety of reasons. Yeah. And if you don't participate in the democratic process, you are liable for frustration down the line.
Absolutely.
When governance starts to creak and fade and collapse, as in many cases it has.
Well, Daniel, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, political analyst Daniel Silk, with 49 days to go before the May the 8th election.